Our study tonight is out of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, the identity of Jesus Christ. Gary Wall's article, A Catalog of the Cults, Where They Stand on the Deity of Christ, in the July-August 1979 issue of Money Monthly, claimed Jesus Christ's deity is what truly separates Christianity from a cult. Well, the clarity and the power by which John identified Jesus in John chapter 1, 1 to 14, thus edifies and encourages us. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. John 1, 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lights every man who is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world recognized him not. He came unto his own people, but his own people received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only unique Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is identified in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 as follows. Each time the verb was appears in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 in the King James Version, it's translated from the Greek verb en, which is the third person imperfect of eimi. Eimi means to be or to exist. Since the imperfect tense denotes continued action in past time, each verb was in John 1, 1 and 2 in the King James can actually be translated had been being. So accordingly, in the beginning, the Word that we know from John 1, 1 to 14 to 18 is Jesus Christ. The Word had been being, meaning that he already had been eternally existing at the beginning. See what John is doing here when he writes this. He's doing the very best that he can use the Greek language to demonstrate the eternality of Jesus. In the beginning, the Word had been being God, had been being with the Father, and so forth. So, Christ also had been being with God the Father, and Christ had been being God himself, John 1:1. Christ thus also had been being in the beginning with the Father. That's why the verb appears. It's amazing. All things came into existence. That's the Greek verb ginomai. All things came into existence by Christ, and without him did not anything come into existence that came into existence. Now, it's interesting that both the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you that there was a time when Jesus didn't exist. They adopt what is known as the Arian heresy. Arius was a man who believed that there was a time when the Son did not exist. The Son of God did not exist. But you can't create yourself. You can't bring your own self into existence. So, everything that came into existence was brought into existence by Christ, and there's nothing that came into existence that came into existence except it came into existence by him. So he was not created. In summary, John 1, 1, 2, and 3 claims that Jesus Christ is the eternal God, that his person is distinct from that of God the Father, which implies that you have at least two members of the Trinity there in the Godhead, that he was always eternally with God the Father, and that he is the creator of all that was ever brought into existence. It's interesting, the Father, we also believe, is the creator of all things, and the Holy Spirit is also the creator of all things. The Word, Jesus spoke the words according to Hebrews chapter 1, but the Holy Spirit was the power that actually created, did the creating, but it was under the authorship of God the Father. God the Father decreed it, God the Son spoke it, and God the Holy Spirit's power used it and brought it into existence. This is why, remember when Mary wanted to know, how in the world can I bear this child? I don't even have relations with a man. The Holy Spirit, the angel said, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. That the last time the Holy Spirit did that was back in Genesis 1. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the waters, and then God, the Holy Spirit, created. So the Holy Spirit is the one who brought the incarnation into existence, united God the Son with his body. And incidentally, we're going to be raptured by the power of the Holy Spirit, or resurrected, either one. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also change our mortal bodies, according to the Gospels. So it's amazing. Jesus was always eternally God with the Father. He is also the creator of all that was ever brought into existence. Now, Jesus Christ has offered blessing, according to John 1:4. In Jesus Christ had been being, you have the imperfect form again, life, and the life had been being, you have the verb "en" again, the light of men, but illumined them, revealing the truth of God, as seen in John 1:5 and verses 6 to 14 in the context that is to come. What occurred with Christ's offering was that the light is shining, it's the present tense, currently is shining, in the darkness, and the darkness has not, and there are two meanings for this, and John very typically will use both meanings. The darkness has not comprehended, nor has it overcome the light. And we're going to see later in the context he means both meanings. So both meanings of katalambaro apply in the John 1:6 to 14 context, and we're going to see in a very beautiful way. Christ's offer and its response is briefly summarized in the events of history in verses 6 through 14. John the Baptizer was a man sent from God to bear witness of the light that all men might believe through him. Now, John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the true light who lights every man who comes into the world, meaning that he convicts every man with God's revelation. Now, the fact that John is not that light is very good. That undermines liberal theology. Liberal theology says we all have a spark of divinity in us. And what Jesus did when coming, he came to ignite that little spark of divinity in us so that that Godhood in us shines. And John here works very hard to point out that John the Baptizer, though he was sent from God, he was not that light. He didn't have a spark of divinity in him. He's just a man. So that undermines the theology. Also, Jesus Christ lights every man who's coming into the world. That's opposite Calvinism. Calvinism says that God, the Holy Spirit, convicts only those who are going to be the elect, only those who are going to be saved. But this verse says that he illumines every man. Now, it's a general illumination, but he illumines every man who comes into the world. So that's one of the very important verses in the Bible. Then Christ had been being. You also have the verb "en" again. Christ had been being in the world, and the world came to exist, ginomai again, through him, and it did not gnosko, recognize him. That means it didn't acknowledge him. Now the meaning of not comprehend, katalambano, is here applied. In other words, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He created the world, but the world did not recognize him. Jesus Christ came unto his own people. The word idios, incidentally, we get the word idiot from it, but idios means idiosyncrasy. That's your own unique thing. He came unto his own unique people. That's his Hebrew people. But his own Hebrew people did not receive him. Again, the meaning of not comprehend, of katalambano, is here applied as follows. But then, however, as many as received him, to them gave he the power, exousia, or the right, to become sons of God by faith in him. They were not born of a natural birth, but by the supernatural birth of God. Thus, the definition of not overcome, and katalambaro, is applied here. So here it has not overcome. The darkness didn't overcome the light, because there are people who are believing in Christ, and they're overcoming the darkness by faith in Christ. Furthermore, this is wonderful. In John 1:1-13, the Word became, ginomai again, flesh, and dwelt as in a tent. Skenao actually means to tabernacle or to set a tent, much like the tent that you set over there, the teen VBS to set the tent up. And the picture is Jesus tabernacled in our midst. He took upon himself humanity, and he was with us temporarily. He went back to heaven, but he was with us. And John brings out beautifully the fact that he tabernacled amongst us. Of course, the tabernacle all speaks about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ anyway. But he dwelt as in a tent, skenao, among believers who saw his glory. And the glory was as the one of a kind. Monogenes means one of a kind. It's not the word only begotten. The translation only begotten is actually a mistranslation. That goes back to the Arian heresy. He thought there was a time when the Son was begotten, which means that he didn't exist and the Father brought him into existence. They misunderstood genes. Genes there is not the word genao, which means to beget. Genes, we get the word genus from it. It's a unique kind. So this is monogenois. It's a one of a kind son that God sent. This son was in existence from eternity. He was eternally existent son. But he was the one of a kind son of the Father, and he was full of grace, that's unmerited favor, and truth. Now this is where the meaning not overcome in katalabato applies in its richest sense. John and the other disciples were with Christ. They saw him. And they came to understand that he was full of grace and full of truth. That's really overcoming the darkness, when you get to understand and get to know the Lord Jesus Christ that way. At one point, John and the other disciples marveled when Jesus stilled the waters. They said, what kind of a man is this, so even the winds and the waves obey him? They'd never run into a prophet that was like this. But Jesus could do that. He could heal, he could raise a dead man from the dead. He'd go up and touch the bier on which the body was laying, and instead of himself being contaminated, he would purify everything and raise the dead just by touching him. Or he'd called Lazarus forth from the dead with a loud voice, and he came forth. The man was bound. He was probably hopping because his feet were tied together. So he had to come out. He had to hop. And so Jesus said, release him. Let him go. No one else could do that, but Jesus was full of grace and full of truth. So Christ is the eternal creator God who became flesh and tented among human eyewitness believers. And though the world and his own Hebrew people did not receive him, as many as believed in him did he give the right to become sons of God and to behold his glory as the one of a kind of the Father, full of grace and truth. So may we worship and praise our Savior Jesus Christ for who he is and what he has done for us. We have, my wife and I get copies of the Answers magazine, Answers in Genesis magazine, and there's a section there that talks about recent discoveries. At the University of Colorado in Boulder, in February 22, 2023, that's earlier this year, they gave this report, quote, in a new study, an international team of astrophysicists has discovered several mysterious objects hiding in images from the James Webb Space Telescope, six potential galaxies that emerged so early in the universe's history and are so massive they should not be possible under current cosmological theory. Now, see what they're doing. They're using this telescope and they're looking a long ways off. And according to their idea of the Big Bang Theory, the distance that they're looking at is going back in time because the light that we're seeing is, you know, they feel it's taken all these billions or millions of years of light years to get here. But this is according to their theory. Those galaxies are not supposed to be there. Then, in Science Magazine, this happened in March 28, 2023, astronomers have found more than 15 galaxies shining within the first half billion, that's their idea, billion years of the 13.7 billion year old universe, far too many according to the theorists' models of galaxy formation. The discoveries are leaving theorists scratching their heads. That's something. evolution doesn't answer anything. But anyway, we don't believe the Earth is billions of years ago. It's only 6,000 years. But it's amazing. They're finding galaxies way out there that, according to their theories, are not supposed to be formed. And they're not supposed to be big. These are huge galaxies. In fact, not long ago, they found a string of about, I think it's 24 galaxies. Look like the galaxies are all lined up like in a necklace. It's like God had fun stringing that whole thing out there. And then they couldn't figure out, why is it there? And it was right out the edge, I think, of where they had the Hubble telescope. Right out the very edge of what they could see. And these huge galaxies are out there, just beautiful. You know, spirals, you name it. Different colors. Some have a red tinge, some are bluish. And so God's having a lot of fun. And of course, when he put the universe together, he called it into existence. He knew that these guys would be looking out there with their evolution. So he's testifying, even to these astrophysicists and these astronomers. But that was called into existence by our Savior. That's our Savior. That's kind of a God he is. He's infinite in his power, infinite in his wisdom, infinite in his grace, and he's full of grace and truth. So may we worship the Lord.